Well, what a privilege it is for us to meet again to worship the Lord together, and a really big welcome to everyone who's here this evening or tuning in online. It's good to have you here. Well, we're looking forward to Martin preaching to us later in the service, and after the service, we're planning a time of singing, time of praise together, and we plan to start that at 8 o'clock and finish by 8:30, so it shouldn't be too late if you've got little ones here with you this evening. Well, we're going to make a start, and we're going to sing. We're going to sing about God being sovereign over everything. He is the great and living God, and yet throughout this song, the wonderful mystery that God has such dealings with us and involvement with us is just astonishing, considering how great he is. Verse 2 tells us that full forgiveness, total pardon, streaming down from God above. So many blessings come down to us from the living God. Let's stand and give praise to God as we sing our first song.
Oh.
Our first Bible reading this evening is in the New Testament. It's in John's Gospel, and it's in John 15, and we're reading verse 1 to 11. That's page 901 on the Church Bibles. These are the words of Jesus, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Well, let's pray together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, the living God, this evening, Lord, we do so with humility and we want to honour you. You are indeed the one and true living God. You are sovereign over all things. You are the Lord God who has made us. You have made the universe. There is nothing which is beyond your knowledge and your understanding, or beyond the reach of your sustaining power. And because of that, we live today. Because of that, we have breathed today. Because of that, the functions of our body have, to a greater or lesser degree, been good and healthy for most of us. And we thank you for that, because you're the one who has given us every good gift. We thank you, Lord, that today we have had food to eat. We have had places of warmth and shelter, we have had clothing, we have had so much, we've had friendship and family, we have had blessing upon blessing, and even through our darkest times, you are good, unquestionably good, all of the time. Lord, we praise you for your loving kindness toward us, and thank you. We thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has, by the Spirit of God, found us when we were lost and dead in our sins. And for those of us who know you, have given us new life, have given us eternal life. Lord, we thank you for that wonderful gift, which we could never have earned, we could never have deserved. It's been all of your wonderful grace and mercy toward us, so we are doubly, triply blessed a million times over. We have hope, not only in this life, but for eternity. We have purpose in our lives, we have meaning. We have a great master to serve. And so, Lord, help us as we live the Christian life. Lord, we ask that you'll empower us and strengthen us. We are in a battle against sin, our old sinful nature that still resides within us. And Lord, we pray for your help to be strong, to put on the armor of God that we will stand and not fall. Lord, help us to be faithful soldiers in the kingdom of God. Our warfare is not bombs and guns and swords, but it is wrestling against the spiritual powers of darkness. which we see displayed across this world, which is there to entice us, to distract us, and to turn us away from Christ. But Lord, I pray that you'll keep us by your grace each day, and that we will live our lives in the light of your word and under the shadow of your cross, knowing that we live by grace because we're forgiven. And from that, Lord, as love and adoration and gratitude to you, we want to live to please you. So help us, forgive us where we've failed that in this past week, and help us this coming week to live more like Jesus. Lord, we want to be like him, we need to be like him, and we pray for your help. For without you, we can do nothing. Help us to abide in you, our Lord and our Master. Lord, we pray for the world around us, and we come this evening in confession. Because, Lord, we live amongst the world. We are part of this world of the human race. And, Lord, the rose-tinted glasses don't last very long. We have to see what is really around us. And Lord, as the world has said, we can be free from God. We can do our own thing. We don't need God. He is irrelevant. We found more technical ways to sin. We've found more comfortable ways to sin. We found more convenient ways to turn away from you and pursue our own idols, our own godless living. And Lord, the harvest that is sown from a wicked world is gruesome and awful. Lord, we live in a culture of death where those in the womb are so vulnerable and slaughtered, where those in old age and in the vulnerability of terminal health, their lives are at huge risk too. Because, Lord, we feel as people that we're in charge. We have the right to end life. We have the right to say what goes and to set up our own morality or lack of it. And Lord, we just bring this before you because this is the world we live in. And we pray for your mercy. We pray for your forgiveness. We are ripe for your judgment as we've rejected your good laws for us and gone our own way. But Lord, we pray for your mercy. We pray for your forgiveness, and we are astounded that this world still exists in its ungodliness. Your patience is beyond our understanding, and yet we thank you that while this world lasts, you have the light of your gospel to shine in this darkness, that people might be brought from this world into your eternal kingdom. And Lord, one of the reasons we exist as a church here is to shine out that light to others. And we pray for your help to do that, to faithfully spread your word, to love our neighbours as we love ourselves, that we will share the good news with them if we love them. Oh Lord, we pray that you'd help us. We think of the different things that this church is involved with and the opportunities coming up in the next month or so. And we pray for your help to make good use of those opportunities. We pray that your word will go out far and wide. We pray for the event up in town. We pray for some useful and encouraging conversations with people that will get them thinking and engaging with the truth. Lord, we do pray for the privilege of seeing people turned from darkness to the light of your gospel. Lord, help us, equip us and prepare us to be ready to give an answer. Lord, we might not have all the answers to the questions, but if we're a follower of Jesus, we can tell people what the difference that you have made to us. So Lord, help us, we pray. And Lord, we pray too that you will help us in our daily lives this coming week. We can't see the future and we commit ourselves to you. We thank you for our families. Help us if we're parents of young children, of teenagers. Give us wisdom as we are constantly on a learning curve as parents. Equip us, enable us. Give us the strength that we need. Lord, I pray for those who are in the busyness of working life and have many responsibilities. I pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them. And those who have retired and are older in later years in life and finding life harder maybe, and I pray that you would encourage them with your word and strengthen them that their inner being will be renewed and will be strengthened. Lord, we pray for those who do not know you, in our family, our neighbours. Oh Lord, we long to see them, hear the gospel, understand it, and to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for that. We go on praying for that, and we wait with patience, like the farmer who plants his field and waits for there to be a harvest. So Lord, we pray this evening that you'll help us. Thank you for your word. Help Martin as he preaches for us. And we pray that you would help us to engage with what's being said, not here to be just hearers, but to be doers of your word, to be those who obey what we hear and live out in our Christian lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to sing now, and we are singing about the promises of God. From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Let's stand and sing together. We've got a second Bible reading now, and that's in the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, and we're reading from chapter 5. page 975 in the Church Bibles, Galatians chapter 5. We're reading verse 13 to the end. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, that's the passage that Martin will be preaching to us from after we've sung our next song, which we'll sing now. All I once held dear, built my life upon. Knowing Jesus, nothing compares with knowing him. Let's stand and sing.
I want to be like, or if you're watching the Jungle film, and you're King Louis, and you're singing to Mowgli, the man cub, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you, too. As humans, we like to copy each other. The Kate effect. Do you know what the Kate effect is? When the Princess of Wales goes out with a new item of clothing, apparently it sells out very quickly in the shops. Blue is her colour. You see it with children, don't you? Younger brothers, younger sisters. The younger brother supports the same football team, maybe, as the older brother. The younger sister starts nicking the nail varnish and wearing her hair the same way. We like to copy people. My question to you is, who do you want to be like? Who do you want to act like? Who do you want your conversation to be like? Well, in our passage that we read, we had two lists, didn't we? Two lists of how we could live. Two lists of attributes that John read out for us. List number one, in chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. And that list number two, verses 22 to 23. And rather than explaining some of those things on list number one, I'm going to read out what the Children's Bible says. Sexual immorality, impurity, and wild living. Worshipping false gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, having envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties. Now have a look at those lists. Sometimes in children's puzzle books, sometimes in their homework, they'll have a list, two lists, and they'll have to join one list to the other. As you look down those lists, can you join up ones that are like each other? Are there ones there that you could put across, draw a line in your mind and go, yeah, jealousy is like. Peace is like. I think as we work down, we realise that actually we can't join any of those lists up. There isn't a single line that we can draw in our minds that would join an attribute, a character, an action from list number one into list number two. Let's look at it slightly differently. Let's do it differently. I want you in your mind to draw a line to ones that are opposite to each other. In your mind, see if there are ones that are opposite to each other. We could have, yeah, jealousy and joy. We could have drunkenness and self-control. Yeah, we could join anger up with peace. We could join anger up with love. We could join anger up with patience. Actually, what we could do is take several lines from each of those characters, those attributes, those actions, and join them up in several places across to them. Those lists are a bit like oil and water. They don't mix. In fact, they're like two magnets. If you try and put the two poles together on the magnet, you can't get them to touch. If any of you have had the toy trains as children, you try and put them the wrong way around and the magnets will move. They won't actually touch. I want you to stop and think, I want to be like. I want to be like. Which of those lists would you like to be like? You're not allowed to sit on the fence. You have to make a choice. Which of those lists would you like to be like? You hear people say, don't you? They are such an angry person. He could start a row in an empty house. They only think of themselves. Why are they so argumentative? They are just being difficult. or actually you do hear it said of people, they've got the patience of a saint. They're so kind. They're so gentle. I don't think I've even heard them ever raise their voice. I was looking through these descriptions one morning as I was reading through Galatians, and I thought, I know which list I would want to be like. But my question to myself was, how much? How much did I really want to be like list number two? How much did I really want to be like list number two? And bearing in mind at this particular point, if you'd have said to me, can you name all the nine fruits of the Spirit? I'd gone, no, probably not. I could have had a go, but whether I'd got all nine, how much did I want to be like list number two? Or actually, is the question different? How much do I not want to be like list number one? How much do I not want to be like list number one? If we as individuals, as we look at those lists of attributes, of actions, virtues, and we think about our own lives, you could probably come up with a third list, couldn't you? And you look at those things and think, yeah, I do that. Yeah, sometimes I do that one. Yeah, sometimes I do that one as well from list number two, but that one from list number one. If I put up Martin's life, what did it have under there? Sometimes there is love. I do love my children. I do love my wife. But actually, sometimes when the children were disobedient, anger used to come in. I wasn't very self-controlled. Yeah, sometimes I'm selfish and I put myself first instead of my wife. So we find our lists, they can move, can't they, with time. Well, I'd like to say at this point, actually, we have a God who is good. We have a God who is good. How horrible would it be if our human beings, our human lives, were only like the actions of list number one? We are made, aren't we, in the image of God. And even people that don't know Jesus as their saviour, they still show the attributes from list number two. Though at times they can be tainted, they can be affected by our sinful nature. We see love within families, don't we? Love to children, love to parents. There are natural joys that we do enjoy. God's creation. Some of us like going for walks, mountain climbing. Some of us like music. Some of us like beautiful things. Some of us get great joy from a sunny holiday. And I think the majority of people prefer peace to hostility and quarrelling and arguing. And you could keep working down and thinking down that list. But sometimes, is there an ulterior motive for why we are like that on list number two? If I'm kind to that person, they might invite me to their house for dinner. They might get me a nice birthday present. They might allow me to be part of their friendship group. If I'm good, if I do that good deed for someone, they might praise me. And I like praise. And your mind can think of other examples. As you thought of your list, were there things on there you thought, I don't really want those from list number one on my list? I'd rather have them from list number two. I'd rather my life was more like list number two than from list number one. But I want you to ask the question, how much? How much do you want your life to be those attributes that we can see in list number two? At this moment, I want to give you a warning. If there is anyone here who actually is quite happy with what actions, what attitudes appear on list number one, there's a warning which we have, which John read from us in verse 21. Paul says, I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If your priority in your life is to be like list number one, that you are first, what you want goes, and it doesn't matter how you get it. Paul says, you won't be in the kingdom of God. You won't be found in heaven. And actually, you don't have to do everything on that list. If that's what your priority is, just self first, you won't be found in the kingdom of heaven. Now, obviously, our passage that we read doesn't call them list one or list number two. We see, can't we? We have works and desires of the flesh, and then we have fruit of the Spirit. The list on the left, number one, was the desires, which you see in verse 17. We have the desires of the flesh. And then in verse 19, they're called the works of the flesh. And list number two, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what are works of the flesh? What are those desires of the flesh? Well, they're the actions, aren't they? They're the thoughts. They're the attitudes that we, as human beings, have that natural bent to. But they are not what God originally intended. Each of us here were all born sinful. And sinful actions come naturally to us. I read out the description from the children's Bible. And it's interesting. It starts with the result of sin's control in our lives are clear. The result of sin's control in our life is clear. And then we have that list. We were all here. Everyone in this room were here at one point. We were born a sinful people. Sin dominated our lives, controlling how we lived. Sin came first and self came first. In Galatians, Paul, he talks a lot about the law, about living under the law, about the way that we had lived and our own efforts making a difference. If we take just the Ten Commandments as part of that law, what we actually see from the Ten Commandments is not how we live, but actually they condemn us. They teach us that we are sinful. They show us that we can't live our lives in a way that pleases God. And once we'd learned that, we are then pointed to Jesus, aren't we? We look to Christ who hadn't broken a single command. He was completely sinless. But despite death being the consequence of sinning, which we deserve, Jesus died. He died on the cross. He took the punishment we deserve for anyone who had come asking for forgiveness. Who would come in faith. Come in faith, believing and trusting that Jesus' death had taken their punishment, so that when we die, we will be in heaven with him. And we read, if you read through Galatians 3, you will see that Jesus became the curse for us. You will see that when by faith we come to him, we receive the Holy Spirit. And as we receive the Spirit, he gets to work in our lives. As the Spirit lives in us and works in us, list number two, the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of him working in our life. Just as apples are the evidence of a healthy apple tree. So those attributes there are evidence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. An easy mistake to make is actually to think of those as individual fruits. It's not fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit working. An easy mistake to make is to think, okay, well, I need to work on love. I need to work on joy. Yeah, I'm a bit quarrelsome. I need to work on peace. Actually, we can't. We can't work on those things by ourselves. We will fail. It's a little bit like a Christmas tree where you put things, you hang things on them. It's not the actual fruit of the tree. We generate a moral lifestyle, not one that is following Christ. Now, John read for us, didn't he, from John 15, where Jesus described himself as the vine And we know that if a branch is not attached to the tree, if it's broken off, it will die. You won't get apples that are produced from the branch that's been blown down in the wind. And that's an illustration from us as we live, that we have to be attached to Jesus. Verse 5 says, without me, that is without Jesus, you can do nothing. Our lives are so ingrained by sin, we can't change them. We can't become more like Jesus, showing his attributes. We need help. And Jesus knows this, which is why he said, without me, you can do nothing. And we read in that same chapter later on, we read in the previous chapter, chapter 14 in John, that Jesus promises a helper. A helper who would come. That Jesus, when he went to the heaven above, to his Father, was asking him that he would send a helper, the Holy Spirit. And he has been sent for us, as we read, as we saw in Galatians 3. When we come in faith, the Spirit comes to help us. And list number 2 is the evidence of the Spirit living and working in our lives. You might be thinking, I would love my life to be like that. I'd love the Spirit to be working in me. I don't want any of those actions on the left-hand side in my life. I want to be like Jesus. His life was full of fruits of the Spirit list. And we read, don't we, in verse 16, Paul says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's easy then. All you've got to do is walk by the Spirit. And as you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. You won't give in to those suggestions. So if I walk by the Spirit, I won't be putting myself first. If I walk by the Spirit, I'll have an infinite amount of patience. If I walk by the Spirit, I will never have an immoral desire. I wonder how many of us have agreed with Paul in Romans 7, where he said in verse 15, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy because our old sinful nature, it still has this strong influence over us. It doesn't want the Spirit working in our lives. You think, why is it so difficult? We carry on reading, don't we, in verse 17. And we see there's kind of a war going on. I've put a tug of war up there. I did think about putting a boxing match up there. John prayed about a wrestling match. There's this thing going on where we have the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the desires of the flesh. What our sinful nature wants is not what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants is not what our sinful natures want. They are completely opposite each other. In fact, it's more than that. They're not just opposite each other. They are opposed to each other. They are opposed. We read that. For these, the Spirit and the flesh, are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And the Spirit wants to transform our lives. The Spirit wants us to make us more like Jesus. And sin and our sinful habits, that wants to stop us. The old man of sin, being influenced by Satan, by evil spirits, do not want us to become like Jesus. And they are determined to stop it. We said earlier, didn't we, with that illustration of oil and water. Oil and water don't mix, but they can live on top of each other. The magnets perhaps was better because they can't come together. Actually, perhaps it's more like a war. And John said in his prayer, it's not a war with bombs and with drones, etc. But if you think about that war, the whole idea is to push the other army back, to gain more territory, to gain more influence, to become more effective. And that's what Paul is saying. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify, we will not give in to those sinful desires. I want just to stop and for you to see that actually it doesn't say that those desires will not come and try and trip us up. They will not stop appearing, trying to get us to do wrong. It just says we will not gratify them. We will not do them. Don't think that if we have the Spirit in us that we're going to stop being tempted. We're going to stop being troubled. Because Paul's not saying that. He's saying that with the Spirit, we won't gratify, we won't do what Satan, what the devil wants us to do. And as we say no, the Spirit's influence in our lives gets stronger, gets more influential. Unfortunately, the same is true too. If we give in to those desires of the flesh, actually that regains territory, that regains a hold in our lives. We know with our consciences, if we have a sensitive conscience, and if we allow our consciences to speak and for us not to ignore them, they stay sensitive. But if you reject what your conscience is saying, if you ignore it, it gets quieter and quieter. In fact, it may get to the point where it doesn't challenge you when you do something because you have not listened to it. And the same it is with the Spirit. We're warned, aren't we, in 1 Thessalonians and in Ephesians 4 that we should not be grieving the Spirit. We should not be quenching the Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. I want those things in my life that are evidence of the Spirit working in my life. Is my life showing those attributes? Do I have to do anything? Do I have to do anything? Is it now I have the Spirit, I can just let go and let God do it? But do I have to do anything? If that was the case, then why am I still struggling with sin? Why has sin still got this hold on me? I can look around at other Christians and they seem to be growing. They seem to be becoming more Christ-like. Why am I not? We read, don't we? We read in here, we have four different imperatives telling us that we should be doing something. Verse 16 tells us we should walk by the Spirit. Verse 18 says we should be led by the Spirit, so we have to follow. In verse 25, we have two. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The million-dollar question. Or four questions. How do I walk? How do I follow? How do I live? How do I stay in step with the Spirit? Keeping in step made me think of dancing. Not that I'm a dancer. But there is the program, the series that will be running now till Christmas. Strictly Come Dancing. Where they will take a celebrity and pair them up with a professional dancer. And the professional dancer teaches them the moves, teaches them how to dance. And as they go through the program, those that are good get better. And you find actually, when they first start, they're not very in tune with their professional dance partner. It's awkward, it's clumsy. But under their guidance, as they follow them, as they listen, they become more in tune. Still, you get to I think it's just before Christmas, the final. And they're very together. They're very in tune. They dance as one. Imagine the celebrity coming in and the professional dancer coming in and the celebrity going, well, actually, I've always done it this way. This is the way I used to dance when I was in the pop group. This is what worked for me. Thanks for coming along, but I don't want to put any extra work in. I've cracked this one. Thanks. Recently, it's been in the news, hasn't it? Where the celebrity and the professionals have fallen out. They can't agree. There's been incidences where, you know, blame has been given. But those that get together, those that work together, okay, are the ones that dance together. So how do I walk? How do I follow? How do I live? How do I keep in step? Let's just stop and remember what Jesus called the Holy Spirit in John 15, towards the end. He called him the Helper. He's come to help us. And what we have to realise is that to be like Jesus, we have to be working against those attributes, those desires of the flesh, those works of the flesh. Those of you who know me know that we run some animal shops, and I can't stand if there's a load of straw outside. And James will tell you, if I come to pick him up and there's straw outside, he's not going home until it's cleared up, because it's a mess. And on Friday, I was on the shop floor, and there was a load of straw outside. So I went out, and I cleaned it up, and I tidied it up. And I thought, do you know what? As I'm clearing up the mess, it's making it clean. And as with the Holy Spirit's help, as we deal with those sinful actions, he then has room, influence, to put the attributes of Jesus in. We're told there's three different passages we could look at. This one in Galatians. The works of the flesh come first, and then we have the fruit of the Spirit. And verse 24, it talks about crucifying the flesh, crucifying its passions, crucifying its desires. Colossians 3 tells us, put them to death. Once you've put them to death, you can then put on those attributes, the fruit of the Spirit. Romans goes in a lot more detail. You can read chapters 6, 7 and 8. And halfway through 8, it then goes across and starts talking about the Holy Spirit. But it's always deal with the sinful actions first. Now, that doesn't mean we're trying to earn our salvation. It's not. But for the Holy Spirit to influence, for those attributes to be part of our life, we can't have the sinful ones as well. So how can the Holy Spirit help us? The first one is prayer. Think about prayer. Don't think about those lists and say, Holy Spirit, help me to do. Prayer for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Prayer for him to work. Ask him to help us to hate those sins. Ask for him to help us to hate those sins. If we hated them, we would give them more attention. We'd ask for more help to deal with them. Ask for help to deal with sin. As you look down those lists, was there any there that you thought, yeah, that's me? Or was it just a callous, yeah, I'll do that one? We need help to be able to deal with those sins. And as he prompts us, we should be listening to his voice. As he makes us sensitive to sin in our lives, as when we have the Bible open in front of us and he uses that to teach us. Notice I didn't say voices in our head. The Holy Spirit will always be in tune with what the Bible is teaching. Whether it's in a church service, whether it's in a private Bible reading by yourself, personal reading by yourself, or whether it's in a Bible study, as the Holy Spirit prompts us, we need to pray that he will help us with what he's prompted us. With the Holy Spirit, it's not the thought that counts. You might have written a birthday card. You might have thought, oh, I'm going to text so-and-so, it's their birthday, and you forget. Oh, it's the thought that counts, not with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to ask him for help. And when we ask him for help, he then comes alongside us, and he will help us. So in our prayer lives, are we praying for help, the Holy Spirit, for him to work, for him to make us sensitive to our sin, for him to help us to hate sin, help us to become more like the Lord Jesus, and thanking God the Father for sending the Holy Spirit as our helper? You think, well, why would you do that? Actually, when you're really thankful, that's when you're most appreciative of what's been done for you. I'm most thankful when I'm hungriest for the meal that Jane has made me. I'm most thankful when someone comes and helps me do something that I can't do. And likewise with the Holy Spirit. When we realise that without me you can do nothing, when we realise that Jesus, that the Father has sent the Holy Spirit to help us in our lives, that's when we are thankful to him. That's when we are thankful to him. We can so easily, can't we, become proud of our own works, of what we've done. And Paul goes on and talks about being conceited, being provoking, being envying, and that's a subject for another day. But it's that appreciation, that thankfulness, that we can't do it. And then my last one is looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. If we want to copy someone, if we want to be like someone, we have to look to them. We have to study. For those who like reading, it's not a light read. There's a great book called The Character of Christ, where it picks each of these fruit of the Spirit, each of the nine fruits of the Spirit, and looks at Jesus' life. And it shows how Jesus was all those different attributes. So it's not a light read, so don't all rush out and get it unless you like reading books. But it's a very, very good read. Just stop and just think about Jesus before we finish. Think about what he's done for us, those of us who are saved. How he died on the cross. What he suffered for sin to be dealt with in our lives. Just think about how he knew we wouldn't be able to deal with sin. So he sent the Holy Spirit. We started off with King Louis the orangutan. And what does King Louis want to be? He wants to be a man. That's impossible. And what have we got here? We've got a sinful person wanting to be like Jesus. That's impossible unless Jesus is involved. Unless the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. Unless we realise that we have to deal with the sin in our lives. As I said before, it's not about us earning our salvation. It's about us living our life in response to his love for us, and it's what he's done for us. So as I finish, my final question is, how much do you want to be like Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent us the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is our helper. We thank you because we know that we can't be like Jesus by ourselves. And we look at those attributes, those fruit of the Spirit, and we want to be like that. We want to be like Jesus. We pray that you would help us to deal with the sin in our lives. Thank you that you only reveal a bit at a time, but we ask, as you show us, that you would give us the strength to resist temptation, not to gratify the desires of the flesh, but look to the Spirit for help in our lives, so that we will become more like Jesus, that the Spirit will transform us so that we are more like you. And we ask all this would be done for your honour and for your glory. Amen. We're going to sing our fourth song, which is, O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart, own it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me. Make me yours forevermore. I'm going to read the doxology from Jude, which I find so comforting and so encouraging. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To our only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty and dominion and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.